तस्मिन् महाभागवतो द्वैपायन सुरत्सखा लोकाननुचरन् सिद्ध आससाद यदृच्छया तस्मिन् देन् महाभागवतः अ ग्रेट डिवोटी ऑफ द लॉर्ड द्वैपायन ऑफ कृष्ण द्वैपायन व्यास सुहृत अ वेल विशर सखा अ फ्रेंड लोकान द थ्री वर्ल्ड्स अनुचरण ट्रैवलिंग सिद्धे इन दैट आश्रम आससाद अराइव यदृच्छया by his own perfect accord. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. At that time, after travelling in many parts of the world, Maitreya, a great devotee of the Lord, and a friend and well-wisher of the great sage Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, reached that spot out of his own perfect accord. Purport. Maitreya was one of the disciples of Maharaj Parashara, the father of Vyasadeva. Thus, Vyasadeva and Maitreya were friends and mutual well-wishers. By some fortunate accident, Maitreya reached the place where Lord Shri Krishna was resting. To meet the Lord is not an ordinary incident. Maitreya was a great sage and a learned scholar philosopher, but not a pure devotee of the Lord. And therefore, his meeting with the Lord at that time may have been due to Agyata Sukriti or some unknown devotional service. Pure devotees always engage in pure devotional activities, and therefore their meeting with the Lord is natural. But when those who are not up to that standard meet the Lord, it is due to the unforeseen fortune of accidental devotional service. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरु दीनतारिणं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधरा श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो वी आर सीइंग दैट दिस चैप्टर इज कंटिन्यूइंग स्टिल द कन्वर्सेशन बिटवीन उद्धवा एंड विदुरा इज गोइंग ऑन they are sitting on the banks of the Yamuna. Vidura is actually on a pilgrimage. He did not want to participate in the war, as we have heard many times before. And he is on a pilgrimage right now, and by some good fortune, he has met Uddhava. And Uddhava has been narrating to him over the past few chapters about pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, out of Vrindavan. And now Uddhava has started narrating pastimes about Lord Krishna's disappearance to Vidura. And this chapter is entitled Vidura Approaches Maitreya because Uddhava is also telling him that when Krishna was about to leave the planet, we saw in the previous verses it is described how the Lord was sitting under a young banyan tree and he was as if he was in deep meditation and the Lord was preparing to leave the planet and at that time Uddhava, who was feeling separation from the Lord and who was grief-stricken because he knew the Lord is going to wind up his earthly pastime soon, so Uddhava arrives there to have final darshan of Lord Krishna. And while they are sitting, Uddhava is narrating that somehow Maitreya Muni arrived there on that scene when Uddhava and Krishna are going to have a conversation. So Prabhupada explains over here that Maitreya Muni was one of the disciples of Maharshi Parashara, who was the father of Vyasadeva. So Vyasadeva and Maitreya Muni were friends, like, you know, they were well-wishers of each other. So that is the background. And Prabhupada says that by some fortunate accident, Maitreya Muni arrived over there. So it is not that, you know, Prabhupada then later on explains that it is not that it is just an accident. Like, you know, how we see in the world, people say that everything has come by chance. The whole material world was created by chance. The whole universe came by chance. There was some big bang and everything arranged itself. So Prabhupada says that to meet the Lord is not mere accident or not mere coincidence. There is some arrangement in that. Because actually Maitreya Muni, Prabhupada describes in the purport, that Maitreya Muni is not a pure devotee of the Lord, like Uddhava was a pure devotee of the Lord. Maitreya Muni is actually a Mishra Bhakta. He was a Jnana Mishra Bhakta. He was actually pursuing philosophy. He was like a philosopher. So he did not have pure devotion in his heart yet, and yet he was able to have darshan of Lord Krishna when he was about to leave the planet. So Prabhupada attributes this meeting of Maitreya Muni with Lord Krishna at this moment, which Uddhava is describing, as some accidental devotional service which Maitreya Muni must have done in the past, and which is defined in Sanskrit as Agyata Sukriti. So we will dwell on that theme today, as what is Sukriti, and especially what is Agyata Sukriti, and how that led to the meeting of Maitreya Muni with Lord Krishna. So Prabhupada quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur in many places, especially in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written in Jaiva Dharma that there are three types of Sukritis. The first Sukriti is called as Bhogonmukhi Sukriti, which is also known as Karmonmukhi Sukriti. So this Sukriti is actually derived from performing Shubha Karma. So the first one is Bhogonmukhi Sukriti or Karmonmukhi Sukriti, derived from performing Shubha Karma. Shubha Karma means auspicious activities. So what is this Karmonmukhi Sukriti or Bhogonmukhi Sukriti? This Sukriti means nothing, it means that somebody performing pious deeds or somebody performing good activities. So they are not spiritual activities, they are in the mode of goodness, activities performed in the mode of goodness, which are defined as pious activities, which give you lot of piety. They give you very good karma, sukarma in return. So some activities like opening hospitals, for example, or opening charitable institutions, or opening old age homes, or anathashram, like, you know, homes for children, where children can be given shelter, orphan children can be given shelter. So all these activities are actually known as karma, good karma, and they give you Bhogonmukhi or Karmonmukhi Sukriti. So they give you lots of good piety, and this piety in turn leads one to Swargaloka. So if there is lots of good piety collected or lots of good Sukarma collected, then it gives you Swargaloka or the heavenly planets. Or they give you more material enjoyment or more opportunities of material sense gratification, or they give more material facilities in the material world. But whatever good that comes out of these activities is within this material universe. And doing these good activities need not necessarily lead one directly to bhakti. But that does not mean, Prabhupada says, that that does not mean that we neglect all these activities or we just brush them off saying that, oh, these are below our standard or these need not be done. So we don't brush them off, because doing pious activities or doing, you know, such type of karma actually makes the heart soft. And as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvidha Bhajante Maam. So there are four types of pious people who approach Krishna. And who approach Krishna when they are in distress, when they are, you know, in seek of knowledge, when they are wanting some wealth. And there are examples given in that purport by Srila Prabhupada. So when devotees, when people who approach Krishna, there are four types of pious people who approach Krishna. It is only people who have accumulated some piety who will approach Krishna when they are in distress. And in the next verse, Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, but however, impious people who are distressed will not approach Krishna. And we see that, and especially it's so evident in the Western countries. We see that even though there's so much distress, there is so much stress, people undergo so many tribulations, but we don't see all of them turning to God for solution. We don't see all of them turning, seeking shelter of the Lord. And that is because Prabhupada says there is lots and lots of impiety in their heart. So they will take shelter of drugs, or they will take shelter of some other intoxications or something like that. But they will hesitate. They will not take shelter of the Lord. So that is where there is the role of this Bhogonmukhi Sukriti or Karmonmukhi Sukriti. It makes the heart soft, and it makes the heart receptive at least. So that when there is trouble or something, such people who have accumulated Karmonmukhi Sukriti will approach the Lord for shelter, as Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita. Then the second type of Sukriti, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Jaiva Dharma, is known as Mokshonmukhi Sukriti or Jnanonmukhi Sukriti. So So what does this Sukriti mean? This Sukriti is derived from cultivation of knowledge. And that is where Maitreya Muni actually falls into that category. Like people who are cultivating knowledge or who are Jnana Yogis. Such Yogis will act, because what is the purpose of doing Jnana Yoga? They want moksha, they want liberation, they want to go out of this material world. Cessation of misery, that is what Jnana Yogis aspire for, that is their goal or that is their aim or purpose of doing this entire Jnana Yoga. So through cultivation of knowledge or through cultivation of Jnana Yoga, one can get moksha. And that is known as Mokshonmukhi Sukriti or Jnanonmukhi Sukriti. And the third type of Sukriti, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, which is very important and which is the topic of our discussion today, is Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti. So Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti is Sukriti which is derived from spiritual activities or activities which are carried out for Krishna, for the pleasure of Lord Krishna. These activities come under the heading of Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti. Now, Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti again has two components to it as described by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. In Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti, the first component is known as Agyata Sukriti, which Prabhupada is referring to in the purport today. And the second component is known as Jnata Sukriti. So what is the meaning of Agyata Sukriti? Agyata Sukriti means unknown devotional service or devotional service performed by accident. That means some activity which was performed by someone not knowing that this is contributing to devotional service. And they were not having that intention in their mind that, okay, I want to perform devotional service. They just did some activity, but it resulted in them getting Agyata Sukriti. And we will discuss lots of examples of that. So that is Agyata Sukriti or unknown devotional service. And the second type of Sukriti is known as Jnata Sukriti, where a person knowingly serves a devotee. And obviously in Jnata Sukriti, again, there are two components. A person knowingly serves a devotee, but he is not aware of the 9 processes of devotional service, or he is not exactly doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. He is doing it because he likes that devotee. And the second component of Jnata Sukriti is knowing devotional service or activities in the 9 process of devotional service, which aspiring devotees actually perform. Like Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, all these activities which are performed knowingly by devotees fall under Jnata Sukriti, and they give us Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti, which in turn help us to advance in devotional life. So these are the 3 categories Bhakti Vinod Thakur describes. One is Bhogonmukhi Sukriti or Karmonmukhi Sukriti. The second one is Mokshonmukhi Sukriti or Jnanonmukhi Sukriti. And the third one is Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti, which has 2 components, Agyata Sukriti and Jnata Sukriti. Now what is Agyata Sukriti? So the Nectar of Devotion describes about Agyata Sukriti in great detail in the initial chapters. So Agyata Sukriti is said that it is the it is the foundation of spiritual life. We know that there are 9 stages of devotional service. It starts from Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivriti. We know those 9 stages of devotional life. But Agyata Sukriti is like the foundation of all these 9 stages. So when one performs unknown devotional service, and when one performs such unknown devotional service over millions and millions of lifetimes, and they were accumulated so much unknown devotional service in their spiritual bank account, Neha Bikrama Nasosti, which doesn't go waste at all. So that will be carried forward in through the lifetimes which they go through. And that Agyata Sukriti will in turn lead to Jnata Sukriti. It will lead them to come in association with a devotee whom they will like and whom they will feel like serving. And that in turn will lead to Shraddha. Because when you serve a devotee, what happens? It actually inspires Shraddha. It actually inspires faith in our life. So that is how, and then Shraddha, then Sadhu Sangha, then Bhajana Kriya, then all the 9 stages of devotional service are. So Agyata Sukriti is the foundation, it is the basis of spiritual life. So anybody who has come into spiritual life or into Krishna consciousness, it is not merely by accident. Like Prabhupada also explains, Maitreya Muni meeting Krishna is not merely by accident. It is not just a chance meeting which has happened, which does not have any cause to it or which does not have any background to it. Anybody who has come into spiritual life, we have to understand that they must have done Agyata Sukriti over many, many lifetimes to be able to come to this platform of devotional service. So that is the role of Agyata Sukriti. Now, Agyata Sukriti is something which a devotee actually evokes in people. So we say there is a question sometimes asked that, you know, what is Agyata Sukriti and how is it that some people get to do Agyata Sukriti or unknown accidental devotional service while some people don't get to do? So the answer given is that it is only because of the causeless mercy or the compassion of devotees that it happens. So we know that a Madhyama Adhikari, Krishna is actually impartial. Krishna does not discriminate among devotees, but his devotees, Krishna's devotees, are partial. They do discriminate. And we know the verse in Bhagavatam, Prema Maitri Kripa Apeksha Ya Karoti Sa Madhyama. So a Madhyama Adhikari actually discriminates according to the level of devotees. Prema Maitri Kripa Apeksha. Prema means he serves devotees who are very senior to him. Who are very senior sannyasis, Madhyama Bhakta knows that they are senior devotees, they are very advanced in spiritual life. So such devotees have to be served with lot of love. Then Maitri means friendship. So Madhyama Bhakta knows that he has to have very good friendship, very strong bonds with his peers. Devotees who are almost like on the same platform as him in devotional life. So that is how Madhyama Adhikari discriminates. So Prema, Maitri, Kripa. Kripa means compassion. So Kripa is something which a Madhyama Adhikari shows to people who are below him in spiritual life or who have not yet come into spiritual life. And Upeksha means staying away from the faithless or staying away from people who have hatred in their heart or who don't have any faith in the process of devotional service. So this is how a Madhyama Adhikari discriminates among devotees. And even an Uttama Adhikari, Prabhupada mentions, because Uttama Adhikari is Pandita Samadarshina. And Uttama Adhikari does not absolutely discriminate. For him, a dog, dog eater, saint, everybody is the same. Because an Uttama Adhikari is seeing Paramatma in the heart of every living entity. And we know Srila Prabhupada was one such Uttama Adhikari. But it is a fact that because Uttama Adhikari are Pandita Samadarshina, they do not discriminate. They cannot see any difference between a dog eater or a good person or a chandala. They cannot see the difference. Therefore, they actually have to come down to the platform of Madhyama Adhikari so that they can preach. Otherwise, it is very hard for an Uttama Adhikari to preach. He always feels he is the most lowest, and therefore, what is there to preach to anybody? That is the consciousness of an Uttama Adhikari. So he has to come down. Usually, these Uttama Adhikaris, like we know Srila Prabhupada, they come down to the level of Madhyama Adhikari so that they can do this discrimination and then they can show their compassion to people who are under them and who people who are lower than them, and then they can preach. And this is what causes a Madhyama Adhikari to give bhakti, which is in his heart, to others out of the compassion or out of the kripa that he is feeling for others. So we know the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. It says, Bhavad Vida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Svayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantasthena Gadabhrata. This verse was spoken by Yudhishthir Maharaj. When, you know, the same Vidura, when he has travelled all over the world, all over India to do his pilgrimage, and he knows that the war is over and now the Pandavas are the rightful king, like they have got their kingdom back and they are actually ruling the kingdom. So Vidura actually goes to visit the Pandavas. And the purpose of Vidura visiting the Pandavas is not to bask in the glory that, oh, I'm their uncle and now they are the emperors of the world, so I can enjoy. Now I can, because I've suffered enough at the hands of Duryodhan, so now I can sit and enjoy nicely material comforts. No, Vidura actually goes to visit the Pandavas because he loves them. So obviously he wanted to see, he was very happy to see his beloved Pandavas back on the throne. But his main purpose of going there was to deliver Dhritarashtra. Because he came to know that Dhritarashtra was still living at the hands of the Pandavas. Dhritarashtra was still not detached. Even though he had lost all his sons and he was the cause of this entire war. Actually, he wanted the Pandavas to be killed. But still he was sitting there enjoying comforts at the hands of the Pandavas. So Vidura feels compassion for Dhritarashtra. And he wants him to be detached and he wants him to go away from that palace. Go to the forest and pursue intense spiritual life. So that was the purpose of Vidura visiting Yudhishthir Maharaj in his palace. And at that time when Vidura comes in the presence of Yudhishthir Maharaj, Yudhishthir Maharaj is so happy that he says this verse that Bhavad Vida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayamibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantasthena Gadabhrata. The meaning of this verse is that good personalities or saintly people like you actually verily are places of pilgrimage. And why are they places of pilgrimage? Because you carry the Lord in your heart. And therefore wherever you travel, wherever you go, you turn that place into a place of pilgrimage. So that Prabhupada explains in the purport that these, the Bhakti Devi, the Lord and Bhakti Devi resides in the heart of these devotees. So wherever they travel, they are purifying the atmosphere of that place. In fact, Prabhupada explains that your holy places, because there are so many types of people who visit holy places and so many sinful people who take baths in the rivers at the holy places just to get rid of their sins. So the entire atmosphere, Prabhupada says, is quite polluted in holy places because people are just coming to get rid of their sins. And Prabhupada says that when such people, such saintly devotees visit the holy places, they are actually purifying these holy places. The saintly devotees visit in the consciousness that, oh, I want to visit holy place because it's good for my consciousness. But because they are pure devotees carrying the Lord in their heart, they are doing the opposite. They are actually purifying the holy place of all the sinful contamination which has accumulated in those holy places. So they travel there, they are purifying the holy places. And in the ninth canto, Bhagiratha is explaining to Ganga. When Ganga, you know, Ganga was told to descend into the earthly planet. And Ganga was told that you are so potent that anyone who takes bath or who comes in contact with you, they will be immediately purified of all sins. So that time Ganga Devi got very concerned. And she asks Bhagiratha. She says that if everybody is going to take bath in my waters and I, you know, they will lose their sinful reactions, but I will get contaminated. What should I do then? And she was scared to come down to the earthly planet. And that time Bhagiratha explains to her, to Ganga Devi, that such pure devotees, and he's referring to these saintly devotees who are carrying the Lord in their heart. He's saying that such pure devotees bathe in your water, and when they bathe in your water, the sinful reactions which have accumulated from sinful people, these reactions are counteracted just because these pure devotees are bathing in their water. Because they are carrying the Lord, because they are carrying Bhakti Devi in their heart. So he gives her that consolation that without any fear you go to the material world. Although there will be people who will come to get purified in your water and who will lose their sinful reactions in your water, but there will be these saintly devotees of the Lord who will travel, who are traveling all over the world to show their compassion. When they come and take bath, your waters will be purified and all the contamination accumulated will be gone. So this is the power of these saintly devotees and of these Madhyamadhikaris who are traveling all over the world, carrying the Lord in their heart. So just their presence is so purifying that when they are traveling to holy places or when they are traveling to these holy rivers, they are purifying the entire atmosphere. Then what to speak of their actions? And what to speak of the actions which they evoke in others just because of their presence? So it is explained that these saintly devotees have the power of converting the karma of people, any activities which is done for these saintly devotees by normal conditioned souls. They can convert their karma into sukriti, bhakti onmukhi sukriti, into agyata sukriti. So when such people, you know, for example, these saintly devotees are traveling, and then there are examples given. For example, if somebody has dug a well in their village, and the saintly devotee happens to pass by that village, and because the saintly devotee is thirsty, he drinks water from that well. Now the well was dug just because that person felt like doing some pious activity. But because the saintly devotee drank water from that wall, from that well, that person gets agyata sukriti. He gets the benefit of serving a saintly devotee. And that is how he collects agyata sukriti in his heart. So this is the importance or this is the potency of these saintly devotees who are traveling all over the world. So any unknowing service which is done to these devotees will lead one to get agyata sukriti. Then what to speak of knowing devotional service which is done to these saintly devotees, which comes under the category of agyata sukriti. And I was listening to a lecture of Kadamakanand Maharaj. In fact, Kadamakanand Maharaj mentions this pastime in Melbourne only. Maharaj also was talking about agyata sukriti, and Maharaj was giving his own life story. So Maharaj was telling that many years ago, before he came into Krishna consciousness, he had a girlfriend. And that girlfriend had a dog. And the girlfriend had named the dog as Krishna. Now it is explained that she had not named the dog Krishna after Lord Krishna. She had named the dog after Krishna because one of Maharaj's girlfriend's friend had just read some books by Krishnamurti. There is an author called Krishnamurti in India. So because that person had read some books by Krishnamurti, he tells Maharaj's girlfriend that why don't you name your dog as Krishnamurti? And then the girlfriend says, no, Krishnamurti is quite long. I should just name it as Krishna. Now, I hope Krishnamurti actually doesn't come to know that dogs are being named after him. But he says, she says, no, 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 Krishnamurti is quite long. I'll just keep the name as Krishna because that is short. And Maharaj says that one of his, you know, in, you know how when you're in your courtship days, you please try to please your girlfriend. So he had to take the dog for a walk many times. And Maharaj says the dog was such a rascal that it would turn away, run away somewhere and not come back quickly. So Maharaj had to continuously many times call out loudly, Krishna, Krishna, like that. He had to call out for the dog to come back. And the dog would eventually come back. But Maharaj explains that I was actually doing unknown devotional service at that time. He did not even know who is Krishna. He did not know anything about Lord Krishna at that time. But he was actually performing unknown devotional service. And Maharaj says that I was getting Agyata Sukriti because of calling out the dog continuously. And Maharaj says that, see, Krishna consciousness can start from anybody. For him, it started by a dog. So this is the power of Agyata Sukriti. And obviously, Maharaj is, you know, being humble. He must have done lots of spiritual activities in his previous life that he is such an advanced devotee in this lifetime. So this is under the category of Agyata Sukriti, unknowingly doing some devotional service. In fact, there is an example given in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now we know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually the Mayavadis don't like personal form of the Lord. So they used to blaspheme the Lord. They used to actually look down upon the Lord because they anyway don't like the personal form of the Lord. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew this, that Mayavadis are actually blaspheming the personal form of the Lord. Indirectly, they are blaspheming Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that, how do I show my compassion? Somehow or the other, I want to trick these Mayavadis into doing some devotional service for the Lord. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to Varanasi, and there he is wanting to have an audience with Prakashananda Saraswati and all the other sannyasis. They were all great Mayavadi sannyasis, great scholars, who were actually having an assembly. There was an assembly of these sannyasis. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to that assembly. And very humbly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sits down where the shoes are kept and where the place for washing feet was there. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sits down over there and he just waits. And all these sannyasis, these big, big Mayavadi sannyasis, when they see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, obviously Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas when he was at the age of only 24. So he was so effulgent. And when they saw that this effulgent young sannyasi, and so beautiful to look at, is sitting in at such a place where, you know, feet are washed and where shoes are kept. So they all immediately felt, they felt very attracted to his beauty. They felt very attracted to his effulgence. And they immediately thought, no, 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 that is not the right place for such an effulgent sannyasi. So they actually, Prakashananda Saraswati and the other sannyasis actually come and talk to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they tell him that, why you are sitting in such an abominable place? You please come and sit in our assembly. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that, no, 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 I'm not fit. But they insist. And then they lovingly take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by hand and they take him and make him sit in the assembly. And Prabhupada explains over there that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was tricking these sannyasis. He wanted them to somehow or the other feel, get those feelings of attraction for him. And somehow or the other render some service to him. Because obviously by serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are getting greatly benefited. So he wanted them to somehow, you know, call him, pick him up and take him amidst them. And by this, rendering this devotional service, accidental devotional service, he wanted them to advance. And we know then Prakashananda Saraswati became a great devotee. All these sannyasis, it's mentioned, they became great devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is how the Lord is compassionate, and this is how Madhyama Adhikaris are compassionate. To evoke some sort of Agyata Sukriti in conditioned souls wherever they travel. In fact, Prabhupada was once, you know, in the early days of ISKCON, Prabhupada was still in 26 Second Avenue. And Prabhupada used to hold his nightly lectures and kirtans. And once when Prabhupada was lecturing, he was speaking something from the Bhagavad Gita, there was a drunkard who walks in into that storefront, 26 Second Avenue storefront. And he comes in, he's under the influence of drugs and alcohol, everything, but he has brought some toilet papers with him. So he did not realize, absolutely, he was gone. He did not realize what is going on, what is Prabhupada speaking. Obviously, he was far from understanding Bhagavad Gita. But he walks in and he takes that toilet paper which he had brought and he puts it near the sink, I think, where the toilet was there. So that they can use it. 2-3 toilet papers he had brought. And then he again staggers out. He does not wait for the lecture. And the disciples are looking, the devotees are looking at him with big eyes that what is this man and how is Prabhupada going to react. But Prabhupada, being the compassionate person that he was, he immediately says, he did not despise or he did not look down that who is this drunkard, how can anybody walk into the, when I'm giving a lecture, what is this respect he's having? Prabhupada says that this man is getting so much spiritual benefit because he has brought toilet paper to serve everyone in this room. So Prabhupada immediately appreciated that, and Prabhupada said that he has performed Agyata Sukriti or unknown devotional service. And we see, like, you know, our temple is organizing so many Harinams in different suburbs. Like, I know all you devotees are traveling. So Anirudh Prabhu was once mentioning, he was saying that the whole purpose of doing these Harinams is to create as much Agyata Sukriti in the hearts of people as possible. Because we know when we go on Harinams, there are many people who will mock, but they are clapping, mockingly clapping. Some people are, you know, jeering. We see some people dance in the Harinam, but they are not actually dancing out of respect. Some of them are dancing just mockingly or jokingly. Many people joke when Harinams are going on, but they are all getting benefit. They are all getting benefit because somehow or the other they are participating, whether it is mockingly, whether it is jokingly, somehow or the other they are participating in the Harinam. Somehow or the other they are participating in this Kirtan which is happening for the pleasure of the Lord. And that is contributing to their Agyata Sukriti. And when they accumulate enough Agyata Sukriti, they will one day become devotees of the Lord. So this is the power of doing Harinams. And there is one more example which Vaisheshika Prabhu gives. Vaisheshika Prabhu is a very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And I was reading one of his lectures, and there he is quoting, like, Vaisheshika Prabhu sometimes travels with his Shaligram Shilas. And he was saying that there is always this controversy, or there is always this debate that, you know, some people declare their Shaligram Shilas as fossil stones, and some people declare their Shaligram Shilas as something else. So Vaisheshika Prabhu was mentioning that, and, you know, some people object that how can you declare Shaligram Shila is such highly worshipable? How can we just declare it as a fossil stone? And Vaisheshika Prabhu says that I have actually learned to declare my Shaligram Shila as a lucky stone. And he said that I learned this trick from Indradyumna Maharaj, because Indradyumna Maharaj also travels with his Shaligram Shilas many times. So Vaisheshika Prabhu actually carries his Shaligram Shila in a pouch around his neck, and he says that there is a picture of Lord Jagannath on front of that pouch. And obviously the custom officials are going to stop. So they ask, what is in that pouch? And Vaisheshika Prabhu says that, oh, it's my lucky stone. And he was giving the example that he was in Japan amongst the custom officials. And then they say, oh, can we see your lucky stone? So immediately he takes it out, and he is giving darshan of the Shaligram to all those custom officials. And in Japan, it seems there's a system that, you know, lucky stones and all are very much venerated, because people also want to get luck, if any luck is coming from that lucky stone. So in Japan, some of those custom officials actually started clapping and dancing in front of that lucky stone. And Vaisheshika Prabhu just encouraged it. He said, this is so good that they are dancing in front of the Shaligram. And he also joined in that dance. And he says that Indradyumna Maharaj is so expert in preaching, and I learned this trick from him. And just by saying lucky stone, the custom officials are getting so much benefit. And we are actually contributing, or we are helping them to accumulate Agyata Sukriti. Now those custom officials obviously don't know anything about what is Shaligram, what is Lord Krishna. Obviously they don't have any of this knowledge. But still it will purify them, having darshan of Shaligram. They don't know the purity, but Krishna will actually purify them, because Krishna is Shuddham and Apapavitham. So Krishna is going, the darshan of Krishna is definitely going to purify. Just as medicine, whether taken knowingly, we know the ingredients or we don't know the ingredients of the medicine, it is going to work once the medicine goes inside. So same way, taking darshan of the Shaligram, or clapping or dancing, raising your hands in front of the Shaligram, is definitely going to benefit. So Vaisheshika Prabhu explains, then what is the harm in calling it a lucky stone? There is no harm, because it is helping these devotees to get some Agyata Sukriti. So this, you know, like this, so much Agyata Sukriti when it's accumulated. And Prabhupada says in the purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya is trying to trick the sannyasis, and he's thinking of ways how to trick them into doing some devotional service. There Prabhupada explains in the purport that devotees must devise ways and means to somehow or the other spread this Krishna consciousness. It could be anything that the devotees do, any trick that they play, but devotees must devise ways and means, and they have to be new ways. Not that, you know, we conservatively just go and do and then people are put off, or they are not accepting Krishna consciousness. And who is a better example of this than Narad Muni himself? We read in the Bhagavatam, we read in the scriptures that Narad Muni was so innovative in his preaching techniques. With every person whom he interacts with in the Bhagavatam, there is a different preaching style that he uses. With Daksha, he uses a different preaching style. With King Prachina Barishat, he uses a different preaching style. With Dhruv Maharaj, he uses a different preaching style. With Prahlad Maharaj, it's different. So with every devotee, depending on their level, Narad Muni is inventing newer and newer ways of preaching and of somehow or the other bringing Krishna consciousness. With King Prachina Barishat, he knew that that king is steeped into animal, into so much of sacrificial ritual activities. And in the name of that, he was sacrificing so many animals in the name of Vedic rituals. So he knew he's steeped in that. So then Narad Muni gives him an entire allegory of King Puranjana. So that was such an innovative way. And then Prachina Barishat ultimately realizes at the end of the story that, oh, he was talking about me all along. And that helps him to somehow or the other accept Narad Muni's message. And then we know how he preaches to Daksha. Daksha is so upset that, you know, all his sons, Narad Muni has made all his sons into sannyasis. But somehow or the other, he preaches to Daksha so nicely. And then we know about Dhruv Maharaj. Dhruv Maharaj was a Kshatriya. And he meets him and Narad Muni actually tests him. And tells him, no, you don't need to do all this. You're so young, you're only 5 years old. You please go back. But Dhruv Maharaj does not. We know he was so determined. And he continues. And then Narad Muni gives him Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva mantra. So, and Prahlad Maharaj, he directly was preaching in the womb to his mom. So we see that so many new techniques Narad Muni is discovering to somehow or the other give the message of Krishna consciousness. But to somehow or the other create Agyata Suprati in people so that they will benefit and they will come to the platform of rendering pure devotional service to the Lord. So after doing, you know, accumulating so many things, lifetimes of Agyata Suprati, one will come to the platform of Gyata Suprati or knowingly serving a devotee. And when we say knowingly serving a devotee, it means that that person actually does not know much about devotional service. He does not know what is devotional service. He does not know what is Lord Krishna. Or he does not know that he has to get out. The goal of human form of life is to get out of this material world by rendering service to the Lord and his devotees. But somehow or the other, he likes that person who is a devotee. And knowingly he serves that person because he's a devotee. Because he likes him. He knowingly serves that person because he likes him. And the example, greatest example, which we can think over here is of Jayanand Prabhu. Now Jayanand Prabhu, we know he was Prabhupada's leading disciple in San Francisco. And Jayanand Prabhu is actually responsible for starting the Rath Yatra festival in ISKCON. He started the first Rath Yatra festival in ISKCON when Prabhupada was present on this planet. And Jayanand Prabhu left the planet before Prabhupada left the planet, in fact, because he was afflicted with cancer. But Jayanand Prabhu was such an amazing devotee and he was such a pure Vaishnava with such good saintly qualities that wherever he went, he would affect people. Not only devotees, but even non-devotees. Like we read in the prayers, Sada Goswami Astakamla, and we read about Sanatan Goswami, that Dhira Dhira Janapriyo, like Sanatan Goswami, these Goswamis were good to the devotees, but they were very good to the non-devotees also. So Jayanand Prabhu was an emblem of that. And it is explained in Jayanand Prabhu's biography that when he was in the process of organizing this entire Rath Yatra festival, when he was building the cart, he used to somehow or the other engage the non-devotees to help him build the cart. When he wanted lots of bhoga, obviously, because they had to cook feast, they had to distribute so much fruits. They used to distribute fruits from the cart when the cart was rolling along. So then where do they get from? Because that time ISKCON was still new. They did not have so many funds. They were still struggling for money, for Lakshmi. So Jayanand Prabhu would go to all these markets, wholesale markets, and he would talk to the vendors. And he would somehow, because he was so good in his qualities and so soft and sweet spoken, that the vendors would just give him baskets and baskets of fruits free of cost. Now they did not know what is Rath Yatra, or they did not know the importance of prasadam distribution. That is not why they were giving. They were only giving because they were attracted to Jayanand Prabhu's qualities. In fact, there's an incident also. After Jayanand Prabhu left the world, the next person who took over organizing the Rath Yatra festival, we know that to organize a Rath Yatra festival, you need lots of permission from the council, because on the roadway there was traffic has to be stopped. So there were all these permissions to be taken from the council. So the next person who was organizing actually went to the council to get these permissions. And he was facing some obstacles over there. It was not a smooth process. He was not getting all the permissions smoothly. And then he was, you know, so through some conversation, the name Jayanand came out of his mouth, that he was the person who was previously doing it. And there was a lady, one more lady who was standing there, who was from the council. And as soon as she heard the name Jayanand, she came to him. And she said that, oh, you are affiliated with Jayanand? And he said that, yes, yes, I'm organizing the Rath Yatra festival. And she asked, then where is Jayanand? And he had to tell that how he has left the world because of cancer. And that lady actually had tears in her eyes because she loved Jayanand Prabhu so much. And she said that, I don't know what that Jayanand was organizing. I have absolutely no idea what is that Rath Yatra or what is it meant for. But I was only giving him permission because he liked it, because I liked him. And that is why I will give you permission today, because you are somehow associated with that Jayanand Prabhu. So, you know, the way Jayanand Prabhu conducted himself in front of people, people were naturally attracted to do some sort of service to him. And all these people, whether it was the fruit vendors or, you know, the, even those street ruffians who are, you know, homeless people living on the streets, he used to engage them to build the cart, actually do the carpentry and build the cart. They all did not know that they are doing it for such a high spiritual cause. Or this lady who used to give permissions. They all did not know that it is meant for, you know, ultimate liberation. It is, they are doing, rendering devotional service. No, they were only doing it because they were attracted to Jayanand Prabhu. And this is called as Jnata Sukriti. And therefore Prabhupada says that as devotees, we have to act like as true representatives of Prabhupada when we are out in the open, when we are out in the public, when we are facing people, normal people in the city. That Prabhupada says that one way to identify my disciples, somebody asked Prabhupada, how do we identify your disciples? And Prabhupada said that one way to identify my disciples is that they will be perfect ladies and perfect gentlemen. So that is the way we have to conduct. Such a big responsibility is there on us, that we conduct ourselves in the highest possible manner in front of other people. And whether it, you know, it's, you know, small things. For example, sometimes devotees think that, oh, it's a short distance, I need not scan my Mikey card. Or, you know, jumping the queue. For example, Anirudh Prabhu always insists that devotees don't jump the queue when there is a queue for prasadam. Because non-devotees are standing. Guests who have come to the temple and who are not actual practicing devotees, they are standing in queue and devotees are jumping the queue. So all these activities which we do are going to carry an impression in their mind. And we can learn from examples like Jayanand Prabhu, how we behave in front of others, so that they are attracted to us, because they might not be attracted to Krishna immediately since they don't know about Krishna. But they'll be attracted to us, and because they render some service, some activity they do for our pleasure, that will give them Jnata Sukriti, which will in turn lead them towards to the 9 stages of devotional service. It will increase their faith in Krishna eventually, and it will help them to become pure devotees of Krishna eventually. So that is the import of Jnata Sukriti. So Jnata Sukriti, unknown devotional service, performed not knowing that, you know, devotional service is being performed. And mainly it is performed by people for whom compassion has been felt by Madhyama Adhikaris. When they travel all around, they somehow evoke, because of their compassion, they evoke such activities from people. And therefore these people are getting the benefit of Jnata Sukriti, because somehow they are serving these devotees who are saintly devotees who are moving around. And that Jnata Sukriti slowly leads to Jnata Sukriti. That means they will knowingly perform. They will come in contact with a devotee somehow. Because how those fruit vendors came in contact with Jayanand Prabhu? It is not just a chance. They must have done lots of Jnata Sukriti in their previous lifetimes. That actually Jayanand Prabhu came in their life. And actually Jayanand Prabhu made them render some service to him. So that activity has been rendered by them because there was accumulation of Jnata Sukriti in their previous lifetime. And then slowly it will lead to faith in the devotees, in the process, and in Lord Krishna. And that way they will advance in their spiritual life. So that is the importance of Jnata Sukriti. That is the importance, the responsibility on us as devotees, how we devise ways and means to increase Jnata Sukriti in the community, so that people will somehow or the other render some unknown devotional service, some accidental service they will render. And in that way they will be one step closer to Krishna, which is the ultimate goal of their life. So we'll end here and we'll see if there are any comments or questions or corrections. Okay, we'll stop here. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.